Ronnie James Dio.
Holy Diver.
Oh, you got it. I mean, you could be a member of the band. I think you're... They had background singers singing that part. You could do it. I mean, you've been listening. That was one of our songs back when we were on. You were on the golf team in high school. Got us fired up. Ronnie James Dio, Dio. That's great music.
We had Dio, Phil Collins
in the air tonight.
Black Eyed Peas.
Boy, what a mix.
What else do we have?
I don't know if we really want to get into some of the other ones. We got to raise your glass, Randy.
Well, I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah, we just had some funny
music. Because I'm not going to throw anybody under Old Blue. I'm just not going to say anything.
Old Blue, may she rest in peace, Old Blue. That's a great vehicle. Speaking of great vehicles, that West Branch offense, that West Branch football team led by that great big offensive line Friday night, 53-13 the final. He's over there, and I'm over here.
You're Jason Miller.
I am.
I'm Matt Shenander.
You know what this is, Matt? It's the Talking Bear Football
Podcast.
Powered by Hoot Project.
On WestBranchFootball.com.
He's getting better every week.
It's episode number 8.
The Ocho. It's a bold strategy. So far, it's been paying off for 8 weeks. Pepper Brooks would love that. 53-13 the final Friday night. Bears got off to a slow start. You know, the schedule was kind of fishy. You had a feeling going through the week. The Bears had come off two very, very emotional, very, very tough football game, playing against two tough football teams in North Cedar and Bellevue. It had that, it's that trap thing where you go into a game thinking, oh, on paper, we're supposed to be the better team. So sometimes that word complacency sneaks in, and perhaps it did creep in a little bit in the first half. The Bears got the ball right away, went down and scored. Like they have on pretty much every first drive all year.
Mm-hmm.
Went down right away and scored, and here we go. And then on defense, Durant gets a couple first downs. Then they stop him around midfield. It's 4th and 7 at midfield. Fake punt conversion. Get it down. They end up scoring. 7-6. They miss the extra point. Actually, it was a high snap, and they attempted to throw it to the back of the end zone. And it didn't work out. Bears got the ball. Of course, they scored, went right back down, and scored again. Just a few miscues in the first half. Mm-hmm. But they did have a wonderful drive. They gave up a touchdown to Durant with about a minute to go in the second quarter. Bears get the ball back. 59 seconds on the clock, and they scored with about 12 seconds to go on a nice rollout run, a designed pass play, but Lucas Lamont saw some space, Matt. And he took it. He kind of does it. If you go back through the film over the last couple of years, he's not just going to sit in the pocket. If he's got some room to run, he does a really good job of making that decision.
Yeah, we talked about this last week on one of these waggle and rollout plays. He was, in this case, he was looking to pass. Didn't find anybody open. All his receivers were covered. So he had some room, and he just ran it right into the corner of the end zone and put the Bears on the board again right before the half.
26-13 was the halftime score. It was a colorful halftime. The Bears were challenged. Mm-hmm. They said, okay, this is enough. Enough of it. If you guys want to be a good team, you got to take that next step. You got to get it to the next level. That's what a good team needs to do. If you really have aspirations of doing a lot of great things this year, winning football games is great. But if you want to have aspirations of doing great things, you need to... Teams that when you match up, when it's a little uneven matchup, you need to take care of that. That's no disrespect to Durant, right? Because they put up a great battle for at least 24 minutes. The Bears came out in the second half, got a 3-and-out right away, and it was lights out. After that, the Bears put on a wonderful defensive performance in the second half, mm-hmm. giving up 30 yards of total offense.
Yeah, what West Branch certainly needs to do is play well all four quarters, and that's because, you know, come playoff time, which I think the Bears are mathematically in.
Pretty close.
More or less.
If they were to lose their last three games by 13 points, it would then be a percentage thing. It'd be real close. But okay. next Friday at the Bears win, it's a mathematical certainty.
All right. Well, when and if they get into the playoffs, they're going to need to play all four quarters really, really well and not have these slip-ups like they have, you know, probably the last couple games, you know, a couple of the first half this year have been sloppy, just offense, defense, penalties, whatever it may be. So that's something that, you know, Coach Peterson and the coaching rest of the coaching staff is going to point out to the team, that they need to play good football in the first half and not just in the second half, because they might find the situation where they're going up against a great team and they find themselves down by a couple scores in the first half, and it might be too much to overcome in the second half.
As we mentioned, 53-13 was the final, Matt, and it took a while to get there, but they got there. The final touchdown with a minute and a half to go put the score 53-13, but the touchdown before that, actually two touchdowns before that, Luke Lennock, running back, LL, got it right for Dan Hayes out there, my good friend Dan, Luke Lennock. So far, the over-under is at zero for me. Bears, defensively, Durant had a drive and had first and goal at the three, and they went four downs and out. Mm-hmm. In fact, on fourth down, Conrad Hoover, coming from the right wing, goes in motion. They pitch it to him, and he gets stuffed at about the four-yard line. On first down and 10 from West Branch's 4, that's 96 yards away from pay dirt, Lennox gets a handoff and just kind of like a hand tackle on his shoe trips him up, or he would have been running. Well, I already precursor, and you well know if you're paying attention to Bears football, on the very next play, Luke Lennox gets the handoff, hurdles a couple of down linemen, cuts back to the left, runs over a linebacker, stiff arms a would-be tackler, and runs over him, and then turns on the Jets for the last 65 yards and runs 94 yards into the end zone and also into the West Branch history books, Matt.
Once again, second time this year. Yeah, the 94-yard touchdown run was, as you said, a school record. It beat Cole Kelly's record by 1 yard.
That's Matt's classmate.
My classmate. He set that record in 2009, took it away from Kevin Braddock, who had a 91-yard touchdown run in, I believe it was the 1989?
How about 1991? 91 in 91.
That was the year I was born.
In the state championship game.
I was about a month old then.
You were? Yep. So you were alive for all three of these 90-yard runs then?
That's true. Yeah. Okay. So great job by Luke. It was a fantastic run. As you said, just, you know, hurdling, stiff-arming, running over defenders. I think that's a good way to get into the record book. And that's his second record of this year. He had the 324 yards against North Cedar a couple weeks ago, which beat
Cade Jones.
So he's
in some good company.
Yeah, as far as West Branch above running some back good royalty, company above in terms some good of company. In terms of records. So yeah. Great for Luke, and he's only a sophomore. Yeah.
Cole Kelly's 93-yard run was part of a 33-carry, 303-yard night in the first round of the playoffs in 2009, 34-6 Bear victory over Bellevue in West Branch. Cade Jones, his 321 yards, aforementioned Matt brought up the 324 yards, were in 2012 against Wapello. Now I bring that game up, glad we say Wapello, because that night, West Branch had 556 yards of total offense. Friday night at Durant, the Bears had 558 yards of total offense. So that's two more yards than the school record. Well, now the school record is 558, so the Bear offense, Lennox and Lamont throwing the ball for a little 230 yards. The Bears put up 558 yards of total offense. What a wonderful team accomplishment. Obviously, it's not the most important accomplishment of the night, because, Matt, what is always the most important accomplishment?
1-0 each week.
Going 1-0 each week, and the Bears did that. Of course, they won 53-13.
Hey, Jay, we also broke another record Friday night.
What was that, Matt?
Matt Shaver.
Showtime!
Showtime Shaver, junior wideout Matt Shaver. He had 155 yards receiving on the night, which beat Rylan Carew's 140 yards set back in 2010.
It did. And Rylan Carew had 140 yards that night against Wapello. What is going on with this?
And the Bears play Wapello.
And no offense
next week,
to Wapello, it just happens to be. You got a name who, name when it happened. Also, the same night that Rylan had 140 yards receiving, Logan Murray had 104.
Wow.
You're not going to believe the symmetry here. Two receivers over 100 yards on a school record breaking night for receiving.
And Devin Kindon had 127 yards as well. And that he was just 13 shy of the previous record.
Yeah.
It would have been really cool if two guys beat the previous record.
Boom, there it is. I mean, a lot of great things happen. Of course, individually, those are great.
Yeah.
But these kids will all tell you the most important part is that the team gets the victory. And these are team records. I know the name, a single name is going to be there. But Lenoch will tell you, all these kids will tell you, if it not for the concerted effort from the offensive line to begin with, to open up the hole for the kid to run through, open up or holding on to the blocks in time for the quarterback to throw it, and the receivers running good routes for Lucas to throw it to Showtime or throw it to Devin. Well, I tell you, most of these yards, though, I mean, he was making lights out throws. He was pinpoint accurate, 15 out of 19.
Yeah.
That's a 79% clip on Friday for 234 total yards. But a lot of those were yards after catch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Lamont threw a lot of kind of dump down, quick out, kind of curl passes, and the receivers did a great job of finding the open space and running down the field, and downfield blockers as well. I know several times I saw Aspmeyer, Kindon, Shaver, Hayes, they all had really, really good blocks on the edge to free up those other receivers to get a lot of those yards after catch.
And you want to know why we call him Showtime, or why I nicknamed him Showtime, and it's just hashtag Showtime's taking over Twitter, just like hashtag Stickhands and hashtag or at WB Bears Football on Twitter. It's taking it over. Go watch the highlight package that Matt Chenander put together on WestBranchFootball.com, which is your home away and all the time spot for anything West Branch football. Highlights. That's where you can listen to us live if you can't make it to the game on Friday nights.
Some awesome photos from West Branch Times.
Yes. Matt put together a great package, as he does a highlight package from each game. And I'm going to guess there's this play where Matt Shaver's old Showtime had about a 60-yard reception, where it's just a simple quick out. He makes a catch, gets a great block, and then he's about ready to dive forward. Nope, juke right, take off. Then two more guys about ready to take him down. Nope, I just kept going and going and making another weave and another Y and another weave and another Y down to about the 3-yard line. Well, it was a tremendous play. Tremendous
play. I can't remember whether it's that play or there's another one I'm thinking of. I think it was Shaver that he caught.
The touchdown pass in the first half where he made a quick move or no?
Nope. What I'm thinking of is Lamont, he rolled out to his left. Maybe it was either Kindon, I think it was Shaver, but Lamont rolled out to his left. The Bears were probably at the 20-yard line of Durant, of their own 20-yard line, actually. And Lamont did a fantastic job of rolling out to the left and stepping up into the pocket that his linemen were creating for him and throwing just a bullet to Shaver, who ran upfield, probably got down to maybe the 30-yard line. It was just a great play.
It
was a great play all around.
Lamont, is that the one where he catches it and he kind of dumped out to the right towards the Durant sideline?
Yeah, gotcha. And it was a great play by Lamont because he stepped up to where there was room, delivered a solid pass to Shaver. We've got a good video of that in the highlight package. Old sideline Tommy Berger had a great shot of that, so you can see Lamont stepping up into the pocket and then Shaver making his way down the field.
Hashtag sideline Tommy. Let's get that trending. Hashtag
sideline
Tommy. So check it out on westbranchfootball.com. Matt's the highlights from Friday night's game against Durant. There's some great stuff in there offensively, defensively, and on special teams. I'm guessing there might be a special team play in there, at least one.
Lucas Lamont had a really nice corner fade pass to Mason Hayes on a two-point conversion, which I believe was right after Lennox.
after
one of his touchdowns, not the record one.
Early touchdown.
Yeah, early touchdown. Lamont had a great corner fade to Hayes for a 2-point conversion. Just beautiful pass.
Yeah. Well, and you'll also see the move that Mason Hayes puts on the receiver or the defender. Poor guy. He needs to get his ankle tape after that one. It happens in football. I don't care where you're from. Sooner or later, if you're playing defense, you're going to get one of those ankle break moves on it by a wide receiver, and you're gonna bite, and it's going to look funny on the film later. But it also looks it's a well designed play, mm-hmm. and the Bears get 2 points out of it. So 53-13, the final. The Bears dominate, absolutely dominated the second half,
and on defense as well. Yeah. You know, we've been talking so much about the offense, but the defense once again did a fantastic job, specifically in the second half, and. This game, Travis Wolf, he wasn't feeling too well before the game, so he didn't really have much of a big impact as far as, you know, tackles go or disrupting plays, but other Bear defensive members stepped up. Matt McElrath, Drew Finnegan, Jacob Giese, Devin Kinden, all right there to back Wolf up and make some quality stops.
And you know who got back in the sack column? The sack man is back!
Big John.
Big John is a week late. Called him that pick to click last week.
He forced a fumble, too.
But he forced the fumble. And Big John, after that, said, I wasn't sure if I tackled the right guy because there's so much misdirection going on. So he tackled the guy, and he saw two Wilton kids going after, and he said,
Durant.
I didn't mean to say Wilton.
Getting ahead of yourself.
Durant, I am getting ahead of myself. And he said, I wasn't sure if I tackled the right guy. Tackle them all in the backfield. Just tackle them.
As long as they're not down the field and they're a receiver, you can tackle them.
Drew Finnegan led the defense with 9 tackles, 1 solo for loss, so 1.5 tackles for loss with an assist. Also, some leaders in tackles. Jacob Giese had 7 tackles. Kinden had 7 tackles. McElrath also had 9. Westcott also had 9. Shaver and Wargo had 7. So they spread it out a little bit, and... You know, defensively, the Bears continue to be stout. If you try to run up the middle right now in West Branch, I think the operative word would be try. The defensive tackle combination of Giese and St. John is probably, I would say, and I know this is a West Branch Talking Bear football podcast, but if I take the bias out of it, it's going to be pretty tough, specifically at the 1A level, Matt, to try to find a better and stronger defensive tackle combination than Jacob Giese and John St. John.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. They are disrupting plays left and right and creating plays for the Bears linebackers and defensive ends to make tackles. As we've said before, you know, those two might not be getting the tackles, but it's the things that they do before the tackle that allows the Bears defense to be so stout.
When you're plugged in the middle like that, teams are being forced to go outside. So why do you think guys like Westcott and Wolf, who are making great plays, are getting and Finnegan and McElrath, they're leading tackles because nobody wants to run up the middle.
Right.
They're going to try to get to the outside.
Yeah.
But these kids are starting to get very, very seasoned. Mm-hmm. And as the season progresses, they've improved. We talked with assistant coach Kevin Crosswaite about just that. And here's what he had to say. Talking to coach Kevin Crosswaite about Friday night's game to begin with, Kevin Durant, you know, on paper, people look at things and say, oh, West Branch should go ahead and just run away with this game. But that's why you play the game. And Durant had a homecoming to protect and a home field to protect and gave West Branch all they wanted, certainly for the first 24 minutes.
Yeah, they did. They came out and did some fake punts on us on fourth down a couple of times and ran some reverses and some jets. Sweeps that weren't didn't always see on film. So,
well, and you know, when teams, it's always been one of those things. When teams play West Branch, you got to expect a little bit of the unexpected, because West Branch is one of those teams when they're on your schedule that can make or break a team season historically, because West Branch usually has a strong program.
Oh, most definitely. Everybody gets up for the competition. You know, anytime you have a chance to beat West Branch, that's something they're going to remember for the rest of their lives. So,
well, offensively, the team on Friday night played pretty darn well for all 48 minutes. Defensively, I would say the last 2.5 to 3 quarters, the team was dynamite. before we transition into the next game. Kind of close that up for me, if you will.
Well, we've had a few mental mistakes, especially on their first drive when they went down and scored a touchdown. And they faked it on fourth down and got a big play and got some momentum going. But we corrected the mistakes and changed a little personnel around and got things going in the right direction.
So closing this game up from Friday night, Matt, 15 of 19, Lucas Lamont, 234 yards. Looking at West Branch's stats on the season, he's at 962 yards, I believe, total for the year. 57 of 81, completing just over 70% of his passes, 12 touchdowns to just one interception, 962 yards through six games. Quick math, it's literally right on 160 yards per game passing. Puts him right on record pace. If he continues at this pace, the record is 1640 Caleb Walter. And I believe that was in just nine games because the Bears went 8-1 that year and didn't make the playoffs. But I think he's going to have a shot at it, of making it in the regular season. But, you know, if the Bears continue to do well and maybe win a playoff game or two, I think that record's going to go down as well.
Oh, certainly. Yeah. And then I think Lennox about 1,200 so far.
Yeah, he is.
Just
shy of 1,200 for the year. And he was leading Class 1A. He's got 1,178, I believe, for the year. 100, let me click this down real quick. 137 carries, 1,178 yards. That's 8.6 yards a carry. 15 touchdowns on the year. He's got 15 touchdowns in six games. He didn't have any touchdowns in game five against Bellevue. West Branch scored 38 points, and their more than likely All-State tailback had zero touchdowns.
That's all right.
Talk about a team effort right there. And it's funny, is the two games where he hasn't, where if you look back at our statistics in West Branch this year, the two games where he scored one touchdown or zero, guess who's had three touchdowns in those two games?
Kendon.
Yeah. So in the games where Lennox not scoring, Devin's shouldering that scoring load. And
it's a dynamic duo.
I was going to say that's West Branch football historically, that you've got two backs that are going to score.
Yeah.
But that's just not showing the signs of a team that's an upper echelon football team in Class 1A, 2A, whatever you're in. When this guy's down, another guy, as far as scoring wise,
right?
They can come at you from so many different directions.
Yeah, I mean, you take away player A, player B's going to step up. You take away B and A, C's going to step up, etc. And all the different combinations of that possible. Having Kendon and Lennox, they're both being able to run the ball, catch the ball, whatever it may be, is a fantastic asset to the Bears. And over the last couple of weeks, we've seen Kendon really mature in the running game as far as learning how to pick his holes, when to cut into those different holes. He certainly, you know, has a little bit of work to do still, but, you know, he's going to work on that in practice and in game situations. And come the end of the season, he's going to be very, very good at finding those holes and backing up Lennox.
Man, I'm just looking at some more stats that I hadn't even really got that deep into it when we bring up Kendon. He has three rushing touchdowns. That's 18 points. 33 extra points. There's 51 points. Two field goals. There's 57 points. Five more receiving touchdowns. That's 30 more points. So at 57 plus 30 is 87 points that kid has totaled of the West Branch season total. Luke Lennox has 90 points, 15 touchdowns. Matt Shaver has four receiving touchdowns. The West Branch single season record for receiving touchdowns is 10. And Devin Kendon and Matt Shaver have 5 and 4, respectively. So they're right on that. So if they're doing well, obviously, we mentioned Lamont's 12 touchdowns passing. This is episode 8. He has 8 rushing touchdowns. His longest rushing touchdown, 8 yards. Why not? Which throws some more symmetry out there for fun. But he's accounted for 20 touchdowns. It's either throwing it or running it. Mm-hmm. What a wonderful, vast array of weapons offensively the Bears have. And as we're going to bring it up again, Matt, we continue to bring it up every week, but you should. I don't run these points down. I don't run these statistics down if it's not for something to make those happen. And what is it? I mean, it's a very big thing. They don't score points, but they make it happen.
The offensive line.
They're the spark plug. Yep. They are absolutely the spark plug to make the fire engine go. So and you got to give credit to, you know, Jacob Giese, Drew Finnegan, Matt McElrath, Gabe Rocha. There's your love, Gabe. Tony Rocha, Ryan Grosvenor, Jack Miller, Big John St. John. You know, it's been a fun ride. When we talked about it last week, the depth of this team, the depth of the offensive line, and that the Bears can turn to different people if need be to get that job done. So turn the page. 53-13, the final. West Branch over Durant. We now turn the page, coming back home. We're coming home. Yeah, I'll tell the world of West Branch we're coming home next week. Wapello comes to town for week number 7 of the 2014 season, game 7 at the Little Rose Bowl. And if memory serves, I mentioned something earlier. Sure, not saying it's going to happen Friday, but the last time they came to town, the West Branch Bears played pretty well in West Branch. 42-6 was the final on that one. The Bears had 556 yards of total offense, had 501 yards rushing that night, which is a school record, by the way. So they performed pretty well. Now, that's 2 years ago. That has no bearing on what's going to happen Friday night. It's just some comparison for the last time they played in West Branch. The last time they played last year, the last time we played in Wapello, that was kind of a funny game down there last year. I believe the final score, I'm kind of spitballing here, but I think it was either 41-20 or 42-21, and I'm sure...
Let me look it up here on westbranchfootball.com.
On westbranchfootball.com. It's going to be right there. But I want to say 42-21, 41-20, somewhere around there.
42-20.
Dang, that's what I didn't say as a combination. I was close.
September 27th.
Last year, Mike Gould had 3 touchdown runs or 4 in that game, I believe. And the Bears kind of pulled away late in that game. There was a 91-yard kickoff return touchdown in that game. For the special teams. I love hearing special teams doing great things. But Wapello comes to town, Matt. Just looking, if you look at the district record, you've got the tale of two tapes here. Mm-hmm. You've got the Bears sitting at 3-0 in the district, 6 wins, 0 losses overall. You've got Wapello sitting at 1 win, 5 losses overall, and 0-4 in the district. They're coming in on 2 different highs and highs and lows and lows. Wapello had any aspirations of making the playoffs or any chance, I should say. They needed to win a football game Friday night against Alburnett, who, by the way, is West Branch's 9th opponent on the schedule. 37-0 was the final. Alburnett Pirates over Wapello. So they're coming in on 2 completely different wavelengths right now. West Branch is still fighting, clawing, and knowing they're moving forward probably towards the postseason. So it's going to be a game of West Branch needs to stay clean, to clean things up from making some of the mistakes that were happening on Friday night, shore up the defense a little bit, because I this is no disrespect. I like Coach Parsons. Todd Parsons is the head coach at Wapello. He's a really nice guy. And anytime in the last few years that, you know, if we ever needed anything, he would help us out. But I just don't see this being... I can't honestly say this is going to be what I would constitute a great football game for 4 quarters on Friday night.
Yeah, as you said, Wapello's coming to town. They're, you know, completely other side of the coin in terms of situation what West Branch is in. As you said, they're 1-5, winless in the district so far, and they're not doing so well on offense or even defense. And what I think is going to be important for West Branch this week, you mentioned it, shoring up defense, cleaning up some things. I think this really needs to serve as an improvement week for the team. Every week's an improvement week, but this week I really hope the team focuses on what they're not doing correctly, even, you know, from the big things to the really small, teensy tiny details. Because this is going to be, and again, no disrespect to Wapla, but I think this is going to be a game where we can really work on some basic fundamentals, some small detail things, both
the things that you almost forget about.
Yeah.
Just playing through the season.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. And I think this is going to be a good opportunity for Devin Kindon to work on that running game, seeing those holes. A good game for some backup offensive linemen to get in there and get some experience. We saw them come in the fourth quarter last night. You know, Ian Andrews, Christian Lang, Tony Rocha, and on down the line. And this is going to be a good game for them to get in and get some experience. Specifically, Tony Rocha snapping the ball. As things look right now, he's probably going to be the Bears center next year. And doing some, you know, getting in, snapping the ball to that gun offense that Jared likes to run. You got to get experience snapping the ball back there, because it's a whole different kind of. I mean, I never played center, but I can just imagine that snapping the ball to the center who's got his hands right under your butt is a little bit different than, you know, tossing it back five yards or so. So it's going to be good experience for him, good experience for that offensive line to learn the schemes, learn who to block, figure out those, just learn the offense even more than they already do.
Yeah. You know me, Matt. Let's go into this part. I'm not much on statistics or numbers. Oh wait, that's another guy. I am.
Yeah.
That's what we have to go by, because I mean, I've watched film. I've watched some film on Wapello, but I like seeing teams live, so I don't really have a 100% full background checked. But you know, it's some things are consistent through six games. The Indians of Wapello have put up 70 points. They've scored 70 points. That's just shy of 12 points a game. 70 through 6. West Branch on Friday night scored 53. West Branch in the last two games have scored near 100 points. So the last two games, West Branch has scored more than Wapello has in their six games. Now, do I think that's a telltale sign of what's going to happen on Friday night?
Maybe.
I actually do. And I'm not, again, not being funny here.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say it before, I mean, we'll get to the pick-to-click stuff here in a few minutes.
I mean, we're not going to sugarcoat this.
No, I'm not going to sugarcoat it for you. If you're coming to watch a good, a close football game,
no,
don't stick around after the first quarter.
Yeah.
West Branch should be, I personally feel,
knock on wood, if
West Branch, you know, stays healthy and penalties, you know, cut down on penalties and the defense plays exactly like they played against Bellevue and in this, taking on from the second half of Friday night's game against Durant, it's going to be, you know, tick, 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 tick. Chris Berman would be running the clock in the second half. But that's no offense. It's just, I think it's a game where West Branch offensively can really flex their the offensive line gets a chance to really flex their muscles and open some things up.
Yeah, Jason, you mentioned injuries, and there's been a little bit of an injury bug going around the last couple weeks.
And flu bug.
Well, that too.
Yeah.
You know, Drew Finnegan, he was out last game. He hurt himself in the
North Cedar game.
Towards the end of the game there, he came out, and he had to sit out last week's game. Austin Black also had to sit out last week's game. Everything we've heard, he's making a good recovery and should be able to play Friday night. You know, Drew stepped in and came back against Durant and had a great game, as, you know, he usually does. Matt McElrath throughout the week didn't practice much, battling a little bit of a knee injury. And as we mentioned earlier, he was right up there leading the team in tackles. So from a defensive standpoint, it seemed like you didn't really miss much of a beat. And there were good snaps to Lamont.
And the funny part is, you mentioned throughout the week, his first practice was on Thursday for the pregame. I mean, he showed up. It was like, it's like Willis Reed showing up in the 1970 New York Knicks game. He's injured. And then all of a sudden he shows up on the court out there limping and hobbling. He could barely walk. His leg's stiff, but still putting up the stats it did. So for all you old, for you folks not born in the 2000s and the 1990s, you'll get the Willis Reed reference. And if not, Google it. I'm sure it's out there somewhere. Google or Bajanga or something.com.
Yeah.
You'll be able to find Willis Reed, New York Knicks. You know, man, it's good news. It's that time. You bring this up. This is a really good point. Because usually in about week 5, 6, 7, you're playing a lot of football games. You're getting to that point of the season where, you know, practicing is one thing. But when you get into the games, it's a completely different adrenaline level. Your body's working at a completely different speed than what does on Wednesday in the ISO drill at home or tech. It just, you're just running at a different speed. It's adrenaline kind of does that for your body. Mm-hmm. And you play through the pain a little bit. But this is the point of the season where teams start to get the nicks and the bruises and the things that happen. Knock on wood, I mean, West Branch through the years has been pretty blessed with, have gotten through. I mean, a lot of it's a credit to the kids for, you know, for playing through a little bit, because that's football, but also for the coaches and the staff for promoting the health aspect of it, and for the wonderful trainers the Bears have had through the years. Mm-hmm. And I think those are some key components if you want to stay healthy. A, obviously you need a little luck. But B, you got to have great staff to help train you on how to stay healthy and eat right and weight lift correctly. Mm-hmm. I honestly really think that Phil Johnson has made a wonderful contribution beyond the weight room, because the weight room puts your body in a better condition to take on some of the blows that you get on the football field.
Yeah, and you know, staying healthy in the aspects that we've talked about, that's not just an in-football season thing. That's throughout the whole year. From you know, lifting weights, eating correctly, just staying in shape in the off-season by running or lifting weights, whatever it may be. And then just taking care of your body during the week between games. You know, if you're not 100% come Monday for practice, you know, figure out what you can do and don't try and overwork yourself to where you can hurt yourself more. That way, come Friday night, you're good to go.
Yeah. And these kids, you mentioned that the off season, that it's an all the time thing. Mm-hmm. See, these kids in the off season, when they're not in football, guys in football are still lifting, some of them 3, 4, 5 times a week. When they're out of football and other sports during the summertime, we're closer to 5, 6 times a week, sometimes twice a day.
Yeah.
Some kids don't take days off when you should. You need to let your body rest. But that's the commitment.
That's the benefit of being young, too.
It is. Coach Johnson has really got these kids. He's not pushing them. These kids are taking what he's teaching them and just taking it to another level. Mm-hmm. And I think, again, he's a wonderful addition and will be for hopefully years to come at West Branch. Coach Crosswaite also spoke to us about what he sees in Wapello and the task at hand next Friday night. Well, moving into week 7, a home game, which we're seemingly far and few between to begin the season, but now the Bears have the opportunity to play 2 of their final 3 games at home. Wapello comes to town, a team that has not yet won a district football game. But as we well know, last year going to Wapello, it was a team that hadn't won a football game, and West Branch struggled against Wapello. So I expect them to bring everything they have and play a dynamite football game on Friday night.
Well, again, they're playing West Branch, and like you said earlier about Durant, people get up to play West Branch because we're a top-ranked team every year, in and out. So, and they have a multiple offensive formation, so it's a tough task defensively because they'll spread us out. They'll come up unbalanced. You just never know what they're going to throw at us. I mean, they'll have trips and empty and doubles and all kinds of formations.
Well, being a guy, a coach that works with the big guys predominantly, you got to be excited about so far the performance that the offensive and defensive line have had this year so far.
Oh, most definitely. When you got Big John and Jake Giese in there at 270 or plus, they're stuffing things up in the middle. And then this year with Travis Wolf, he put on 25 pounds from last year. He's been in the weight room. He's gotten a lot stronger. Nick Westcott got a lot of experience last year, and he's hit the weight room hard this year too. And those guys are quick on the edge, and they're tough. They like to play physical. So it's a joy to coach those guys.
West Branch kids into the game Friday night, 3-0 in the district. Number 1 in the district, the only team without a loss. With a win on Friday night, Coach Crosswaite, the Bears would be qualified for the postseason. I'm sure, you know, that doesn't start for about 3 weeks, but it's going to be kind of a nice thing if the Bears can win Friday. And that would put kind of give you a little bit, some coffers in the pocket, so to speak.
No doubt about it. Our goal is obviously one game at a time, but if we can run the table, we'll get home field advantage throughout the playoffs. So that's a big goal for us. It's a big advantage to be playing at home in the playoffs.
Well, one more question for you, then we'll let you go, Coach. What excites you about being a part of the coaching staff for the West Branch Bears? This is, I want to say, on the varsity level, this is your third or fourth season?
Actually, it's only my second season.
See, I'm aging you already here. I'm sorry about that.
Okay, that's okay.
But what is it? What's the excitement about it for you?
Well, I coach a lot of these kids in middle school. Actually, all of them in middle school. So I know the kids, and it was when Butch asked me to come up to varsity, I was honored that he thought enough of me that he wanted me on his staff, because it's a quality staff and very well known throughout the state that West Branch football is a powerful program, and it's, like I said, it's very enjoyable and rewarding working with the kids, and we got great kids here in West Branch, and they're all very coachable, and it's fun.
Well, in about 7 years, you've got a future Bear in your household. About 7 years from now, he'll be up there, and you might be his coach, huh?
That's a possibility. I told Butch, I've told him for years, I said, I hope you stick around and coach, because I want my son Cole to play for Butch. So,
well, wouldn't that be a nice thing? That would put Butch in about his 38th year. You know, there are other coaches that have coached longer than that. No problem for Coach Peterson, huh?
That's right. He can do it. He's young for his age.
That's right. Well, Coach Kevin Crosswaite joined us today. Thanks so much for your time, and looking forward to hearing about the preparation and for the product on Friday night.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks for everything you and Matt do for our program to make it special.
Thanks so much. Just some statistics for Wapello. We'll cut back into that, and then we'll get to the fun, our favorite part of our program, besides talking about the Bears being 1-0 each week. Wapello statistics aren't updated through Friday night's game, which was a 37-0 loss to Alburnett. But through five games, their quarterback, Corbin Mears, his statistics really aren't bad. 528 yards through five games. That's a little over 105 games passing. 105 yards per game of passing. Three touchdowns. Rushing-wise, they kind of spread the wealth. You got their leading rusher has 31 attempts, 131 yards at 4.2 a carry. Jorge Orsonio. Adrian Lands is the second leading rusher, 44 carries for 126 at 2.9. As a team, they have a little bit over 600 yards. Receiving-wise, Holden Rockaway, like Jay-Z, 11 receptions, 176, 16 yards per catch, one touchdown. Jacob Hunt, 10 receptions, 82 yards, 8.2 yards a catch, and one touchdown. Orsonio has the third of Corbin Mears' touchdowns, a 27-yard reception. Statistically, this team, I mean, you look, it's a night and day situation. Mm-hmm. I know they're going to play clean. Yeah. Wapello they've always played clean. They're a
very,
good football
very
team.
Very respectable football team.
And we've had some good battles with them through that. I mean, last year they gave the Bears any amount of stuff you wanted. In fact, there was a time where, I'm not going to lie, there was a little doubt in my mind.
Definitely.
When we were on the sidelines, I was a little scarily, because sometimes the turnover bug hits. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter how it happened, but sometimes it hits, and it's like the shanks in golf. They're like a disease. You don't know when or why they're happening, but all of a sudden it just happens for one game. Mm-hmm. You know, it happens. But ball security this year has been really good for the Bears.
Yeah.
So, Wapello Friday, Matt. Pick to click. Here we go. Last Friday against Durant, your pick to click was Mason Hayes, Purple Hayes. And he was sick throughout the week.
Yeah.
So it probably limited his full production some. But I tell you what, he showed up Friday, threw a lot of tremendous blocks.
Oh, yeah.
You were mentioning that, after his friends were catching the football, his teammates, he was throwing blocks to free him up a few more yardage. Mm-hmm. and made a wonderful catch, wonderful move, and then dived to the back of the back corner of the end zone, which is a route he and I work on every Thursday down at the football field. He'll tell you that right now, too.
Yeah, unfortunately, his one catch was not an official catch.
It gets 2 points, though.
It does. He gets two points for it.
That's 2 points for the books.
Yep, it's a great route. As we said earlier, great throw by Lamont, great catch.
Yeah. So,
and your pick to click.
My pick to click was stick hand Sammy Aspemeyer. He had one catch.
And he dropped an interception.
And he dropped it. Boy, if he would have got that, he would have had a chance.
It was tough interception, but he dropped it.
As usual. Matt, you know who our real pick that clicked is. It's the West Branch Bear football team because they...
1-0.
They were 1-0 again this week. But individually, it's, I think... For me, it's there's no doubt in my mind who it was. And there are three different people. And actually, you know, I say there's no doubt. Now I say there are actually two people I could choose.
Yeah.
And neither one of them are named Luke. And I mean, Luke had a great game, 13 carries.
Well, there's only one Luke.
94 yards. Lucas Lamont could be in that mix. Yep. 15 and 19, 234 yards passing. Absolutely, probably one of the more precise games I've seen in my lifetime throwing the football. And that's saying a lot. I've seen Caleb throw Walter. I saw Aaron Vincent, the 93 for 303, which is a school record against Williamsburg. And this was as precise, but you got to give credits when a lot of those we mentioned earlier were yards after catch. Mm-hmm. So that brings us to, I think it's, in my opinion, it's either Matty Shaver, Showtime, or Devin Kendon had 123 rushing or receiving. He had 60 yards rushing. I mean, 183 total yards. It's a tough one.
I don't think we can pick this one. I don't think we can definitively say, you know, because it's really, you know, as far as individual stats go here, things that get counted as stats, that's what we're basing this off of course.
Yeah.
You know, it's certainly any argument could be made for Matt Shaver, Lucas Lamont, Devin Kendon, and even Luke Lennick. You know, it's I don't think we can say.
We can't.
No, but we did have some people email us in. Just a couple, not 20. We're still waiting for 20.
This is getting disappointing. We are over halfway through the season now, folks. Contact at westbranchfootball.com.
Or at the bottom of the page that you're listening to this episode on, if you're on the website, there's a comment section. Dan Hayes loves to use that comment section.
He does.
You can also use that comment section, or you can contact us, as Jason said, contact@westbranchfootball.com. So this week we had Sherry Giese email us again, as she always seems
bless
to do.
Her heart. Well, she's probably emailing while she's jogging home.
She's talking to Siri. Having Siri emailing
email it while she's jogging on Sundays.
And that's good multitasking.
I know. She's a doctor. So
Mrs. Giese wrote in 49-0. That was her pick. Close.
She stole my pick.
Did she?
That was mine.
That's right.
But, you know, she wins. It's
and okay. Then she said, Lennick and Kendon run all over the Wildcats. And then Giese gets back on track with 10 tackles and 3 sacks. Or he has to run back to West Branch, which, by the way, goes through Wilton.
Yeah.
So
that's
kind of fitting.
That town to the east. is what the first two Durant, I think.
But Jacob did well. He had a block punt, a couple tackles.
So just because he didn't have 3 sacks, Mom, and those 10 tackles, he did enough because he opened up the line. He's on the offensive line that helped West Branch put up 558 yards.
Right.
So he's one fifth of the click or 1/6 of the click.
Did he make it back on the team bus after the game?
Yes, he did. But he did. Okay, maybe he didn't. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
You weren't sure you weren't taking the head count?
Well, I was about ready to make a bad, bad joke, and I'm not going to now. He was on the bus. He was part of the bus driving system, again, that offensive line that helped make it work. So who else wrote in, Matt?
We also had Gregory Norfleet of the West Branch Times. He wrote in.
All right.
His pick was 45-0.
Okay.
Score pick. Also a pretty good pick. I think he might win this week, but I haven't looked at the others. He had Lucas Lamont as his pick to click.
Three touchdowns, four touchdowns, sorry.
He provided some good analysis here. Might have to have him on the show. Wapello managed about 230 yards against Durant. Albernett had about 300, and Tipton had about 360. I'd say West Branch could easily get in the 400s. Well, actually, the 500s, but close.
We did.
I think Jared will likely do some experimenting with the pass. May see more from Mason Hayes and Cooper Kabla, and build additional depth on the run, mostly with Devin Kindon. I predict we'll see Hunter Wargo step in at quarterback before the night is over, too. That he did.
Wow.
Greg.
You think this guy had done this before.
You think he'd like cover football games? I don't.
You ever been to a game? I don't know.
He gets one of the best seats in the house.
He does, each and every week.
Finally, we had Mike Westcott ride in, the new guy. He's really making his presence felt here in West Branch.
Well, they just got internet at their house this week, so it's time.
Liberty came out and hooked it up for him.
Liberty came out and got it to him, and he's able to finally send in his picks to click instead of having to go to the post office.
There was a long
Morse
waiting
code.
Period there. They had to get their new house wired up.
Yeah, that's right, Mike. Yeah. You know, it's that new house thing. But now you're almost there. Once you get to that 4-month mark, it's like the move never happened.
He says, hi guys, Kimberly, which I assume is his wife?
Yes.
Okay. He says, Kimberly's pick to click is her protege, Nick. and her score, helped by her children, is 49-7 West Branch. She's the closest yet.
Yep.
Mike's pick to click is Jacob Giese with 8 tackles, 4 for loss, and 1 sack.
Okay.
And his score was 56-0.
They're right in there.
Mm-hmm.
56 is the closest on the top end.
Top end, yeah.
Pick the click for Matt this week against Wapello. By the way, Wapello on the season through their first 5 games has 1,020 total yards, 556 yards passing, 464 yards rushing. West Branch through 6 games has 2,583 leaders in Class 1A District 5. Went back to the top. 1,540 yards rushing, has a commanding lead in the rushing totals, 360 yards lead over second place North Cedar. Passing 1,043 yards is second, so 2,583 yards, averaging 7.9 yards per play, which is a yard and a half more than the nearest competitor in District 5. Matt, West Branch, Wapello, pick to click, who you got?
You know, there's a couple really easy answers here. And I'm going to have to take one of them. And I'm going to say Devin Kindon.
Oh, Devin Kindon. No one ever takes him. Ever.
But you know what?
The dude's a lunch pail football player.
He might very well be the MVP of this team so far, as far as offense goes.
I don't know what Kevin Durant said. You're the real MVP. West Branch Bear fans, the real MVP.
Not to single anybody out, but his performance this season has just been
good.
Incredible.
Well, because he does a lot of good things. He's that guy that you got to have a guy on that team. Hey, he's doing all the kicking.
Yeah.
He's missed 2 kicks, got blocked this week.
Yeah.
And 50 in a row, by the way.
Was it 50?
5-0 in a row.
All right. I miscounted then.
Yeah. He did. I went back, did the math. Had to go back a long way. But, I mean, on his career, he's only missed 4. In fact, he's done 2 different games. He's missed 2. Sigourney Kyoto, he missed 2 last year, and he missed 2 on Friday night at Durant. Actually, didn't miss them. I think they were both blocked
last night. Yeah, they were.
And yeah, so
he's never really. I'm taking Devin Kindon.
That's a good pick. I think you might have me this week. But you know what? I made promise to somebody this week that they would be my pick to click, and he told me that'll learn me. That'll learn you. For not taking me last week against Durant. Against Durant, the Wildcats, this kid had 155 yards receiving. He said, that will teach me for not sticking up for my friend, hashtag Showtime Shaver. So Matt Shaver, you are my pick to click this week at the Little Rose Bowl.
So let's hope
you better do it in the first half.
Let's hope that Lamont has a good game then.
So if he clicks, I'm sure both of our guys will click. Mm-hmm. The team's bound to click one way or another. But I think we've got a couple good picks. So who are your picks? Contact at westbranchfootball.com. Send them in there, or as Matt said, at the bottom of this page. If you're listening online, scroll to the bottom of the page. There's a comment section. Type in your pick to click in your comments. Give us what you think. Another thing I'd like to find out, Matt, just because I'm interested, each and every Friday night, technical director, web producer, website master, Bearcast administrator, technical guy, producer. Whatever, producer extraordinaire, he had to be rehired today. He was fired on Friday night because the iPad wasn't working on the sidelines for the stats.
Now, let's clarify this. Well,
let's not get
here.
In too deep on it. But it
let's just say.
But you're back.
I'm back on. I was rehired today. Coach Peterson gave me the call this morning. he gave me back, you know, my scholarship to help out with the team, and everything's okay.
And he didn't have to worry about a coach tackling him as he was running across the field.
Yes.
None of the assistant coaches tackled him. They said, you got it back, but don't mess it up again.
Yep.
At any rate, Matt does a lot of great things, and specifically we're getting into the Bearcast on Friday nights before we get into our final segment of picking our scores for this coming Friday. But each and every Friday night, the Bearcast goes live at around 6:45 for 7 o'clock kicks, or 7:15 kicks, as it were, Friday against Durant. Or a little later if it's 7:30 kick.
I tell you, I got to tip my hat to Mike Quinlan and Stephen Grace. They had about a half-hour pregame show, and also about a 20-minute continuous halftime show as well. They, dynamic duo, strike again. They did a great job.
Yes. So on that note, Matt mentioned to me off the air, and I'm sure I'm going to have him mention to you right now, we've been averaging somewhere between 150, 160, somewhere around there, listens to the Bearcast each week. That doesn't mean listeners total, but we're getting that many listens. So at any given time, total, we've got around 160 on average listeners. Friday night against Durant, we hit another level. Hit the big 200. Mm-hmm. You the real MVP, West Branch fans on westbranchfootball.com. You the real MVP. So I think that's a great, hats off to you guys, and hats off to the people who have been the sponsors for the website and for the Bearcast this year. And Matt, go ahead and name some of those off for us.
Yeah, big thanks to Liberty Communications at home for home games. They are providing the internet connection for us that we need to do the Bearcast. Main Street Suites and Stephen Grace as well for providing both play-by-play and color commentary. Also, Casa Tequila, fantastic food.
Oh my gosh!
West Branch, yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable. I get the same thing every time. It's really basic.
Yeah.
But I get a steak. I get grilled steak tacos. I mean, I'm pretty basic, and I get a their quesadillas, quesadilla for those of you that pronounce it correctly. They're just simple things, but they taste so good.
Yeah. Also, West Branch Times for providing us some really great photos for you guys to see on the website. Also, West Branch Lions Club. They are doing a great job with their Feeding the World campaign right now.
You're going to try and raise it $15,000 or $25,000, I think, for that coming up?
If it's 25, they're really close.
I think that is right. I think I saw that in the West Branch Times this week.
As of yesterday, or Friday night, Stephen had mentioned to me that they're really close to getting to their goal if it is 25.
Okay.
Huge thanks to all those guys, plus EMS Detergent Services, Dan and Julie Hayes there, Bauer Drywall.
Yeah, there a lot of wonderful people have really helped us make this website and this Bearcast possible to get it out to people all over the world. Oz, the old trainer, guy came in and helped out Phil Johnson last week. Oz was listening to it out in Delaware as he is working at the University of Delaware now in their strength and conditioning program out there. You all know Oz. If you've watched Hawkeye football, not this year, but the last 4 years, and you see that wild and crazy cheerleader on the sidelines, the guy with the lightning coming out of his eyes because he's so powerful, and he's what an amazing guy. He's such a great guy and such a great help for our kids over the last couple of years helping Phil. So, hey, Oz, I hope you're doing well out there in Delaware.
We also had Dale Lumpa tweet us last night during the game. He said he was listening from Denver, and go Bears.
So go Bears.
Good to hear from Dale.
Good to hear from Dale, former Bear great and Bear baseball assistant coach for a few years. Old Captain Crunch himself. No sunflower seeds. He ate Captain Crunch. There's nobody else did that.
Yeah.
So I want to thank all you guys for doing that. If you would like to, we're pretty close to that, some of the goals that we've set, but we're not quite there. So if you actually want to help, you can go on the westbranchfootball.com. Up in the right-hand corner, there's a link. If you go to the, is it on the front page or is it on the Bearcast page or webcast page?
For what?
For donation. If you'd like to make or have any questions about donations, you can either email us at contact@westbranchfootball.com. I guess just email us at West
Branch. Yeah, if you just go westbranchfootball.com/support.
There you go.
You'll be able to learn how to, you can support the program, how you can support the podcast, the Bearcast. Just unfortunately, we do incur some costs, and depending on how far the Bears go this season, we may have to unfortunately incur some extra costs as well, just due to some Iowa High School Athletic Association rules.
And on that note, man, I spoke to Bud Legg, longtime executive director, and he's been with the Iowa High School Athletic Association for a lot of years. Good friend of Coach Peterson's. I called out there and spoke specifically with him, asking him and explaining him to what we do with the Bearcast. He actually knew of it. He actually said, yeah, I know you guys have it. And that's a great thing. I wish more schools did what you did do. And I asked him, I said, what, when we get into the postseason, you know, knock on wood, hopefully the Bears continue to go 1-0 and get there. They go 1-0 next Friday. We're in the playoffs.
Man, you are just loving that term.
You know, you stole it from me a long time ago, but we're not going to get into that. That's not part of this podcast.
Okay.
But that's your line this year. You get it, bud. You get the line. But anyway, Bud, Mr. Legg said, you know, in the playoffs, before the semifinals, the first three rounds of the playoffs, if you want to do a radio broadcast only, radio or webcast like we do, there are no fees. So if the Bears continue to play well and get to the playoffs and win a first round game and a second round game and play at least to the third round, we will continue to be able to bring you the Bearcast live from the comforts of your own home or wherever you are with your cell phone. We will be able to bring that to you free. And I think that's a great thing because, you know, we get into the playoffs, more fans want to know. It's just one of those weird things that when their team makes the playoffs, it's like the Royals or the Orioles. People just come
everybody
out.
Comes
more
out.
Come out. Not saying you aren't true Bear fans because you really are. It's just a different thing. It's always, that's how sports go. But the best part, again, we're going to be able to bring it to you more, Matt, and I think that's a great thing. So, moving to our final segment, and then we'll close it up, put a bow on this one, and put it under the tree. That's kind of my call line this year, tagline.
It has been, yeah.
Matt, you do the pick to click. We say it every week. You're the first one there. I'm the first one to give a score. And man, I will say 56-0 West Branch over Wapello.
I think that's a pretty good pick.
I got a bad feeling about what I'm about ready to hear. No, I mean, I don't. I'm just kidding.
I'm going to go with 52. I think I said that last week. And I'm going to go 52-7.
My pick's in a box. It is. It's in a box because you just boxed me in. My pick is now boxed. And if we don't score 52, I can't win.
Well, actually, I'm going to do 57-1.
There we go. Now you're good. No. That's like the price is right. You just price is right me.
$1, Jason.
$1.
No,
so 56.
52-7.
He says 52-7. I say 56-0. What say you, Bear fans? Again, contact@westbranchfootball.com. Send us your picks to click. Send us your scores.
Or if you're on Twitter, tweet at us. WB Bears Football.
Or on Facebook. We got a West Branch Football page right there on the Facebook. Get rid of the.
We're on Instagram.
We're on bedazzle.com.
We're not on Vine.
Yeah.
I just don't see any point in that.
No. No, I mean, if Damon Bullock was around, he could probably help us out with that, but you know. That's you won't get the reference. We'll cut that anyway.
No, I get that one.
Yes. So, at any rate, Matt, another good one. That's 8 weeks in the book for our 8 episodes now in the book. Game number 7 at home. So if you're looking at the schedule, hypothetically speaking, we'll crystal ball it just for a second, and then we won't crystal ball anymore. If the Bears continue to win, 5 of the next 6 games could be in the comforts of the Little Rose Bowl at Oliphant Street.
I think what the last 2 years we've each had 4 games at home.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, assuming everything holds out and everything goes the way that we are hoping and anticipating, We're actually going to have some home games.
There are going to be some home games.
And it's that year that the people in the last of the alphabet get to host the games or be the home team.
Yes.
So that we're at the bottom. We're one of the bottoms.
When you are a W team, you are going to be near. As I look at the class,
who could even be?
Looking at the class 1A list, you got West Lions there, but we won't have to play them. Woodward Granger probably not going to play them. They're going to be out of the. So let's just say
nobody.
Wilton. We are at the low end of the alphabet. But if you win, if you're a district champion, you're undefeated. You get the home games.
Yeah, I don't think we're playing Xavier either.
I don't think Xavier's in WX Class 3A. They lost last night or Friday night, but this isn't Xavier football. This is talking Bear football. And Matt, another one I think is in the books, and I think it's going to be a fun week. Hopefully, continue to have good practice, continue to stay healthy, continue to stay, as we've mentioned, the diet as we get closer to the end of the season. Begin to forget about the things that got them to where they are. But I don't think with Coach Phil Johnson around and specifically with Coach Butch Peterson and his staff that the Bears really usually have to worry about that. No. Well, he was Matt Shenander, and he still is.
I am still, yes.
You're still Matt Shenander.
At least for now.
At least for tonight. We'll see what happens.
Knock on wood.
That's Matt Shenander. I'm Jason Miller. Thank you, the Bear fans, for being out there each and every week on listening to our podcast, listening to the Bearcast, and just following West Branch football. And thanks for listening to the Talking Bear Football Podcast, powered by Hoot Project. Take care, everyone.